Yes, another big hitter on the show. I'm going to say the best left foot we've had on the show. A guy could open a bottle of Newcastle Brown Ale. You agree with that, mate? Best left foot?
I don't know who you've had on. You've obviously not had George Alberts on, though.
Nah. No, yeah, but we've had Mulgrew and Newman. I'm putting you above them.
Yeah, well, there's two decent ones, so I'm happy to be above them, mate.
Their Reeboks could smash a bomb, mate.
Yeah.
Beardsley, remember?
Beardsley.
And also a guy who helped me massively as a kid. So I just want to thank you for helping us to go on and have such a bang average career, mate.
You had a good career, Simon, don't worry
about
that.
For the ability I had, Yeah,
you were a good lad.
Cheers, mate. Just on to yourself, mate. Growing up as a kid, was it always the same? A guy with a good left foot, with a bit of Plymouth Argyle?
Yeah. I mean, started young, Wall's End Boys Club. There was a big group of us who went on to make decent careers for ourselves. So, and then just progressed from there, really. So, yeah, always had a left foot. Wished I'd have practised on me right, but I didn't.
The left came in good use, though, mate. Was it the Wall's End and then into Newcastle?
Yeah, those days you could play for your club, boys' club team and go into like an academy. Mm-hmm. It was like a school of excellence then, it was an academy. So we all used to duck and dive most nights, 5 nights a week you'd be training, you know, so it was brilliant.
See, when you see kids now, do you think that's completely changed?
You look at the system now, I don't know if the proof's in the pudding, but there doesn't seem to be as many coming through with the academy systems as... And you could debate it all day long, really. Mm-hmm. Weeks on end, is it right, is it wrong? But you look at the England youth teams, they've just gone and won an under-19, under-20 World Cup and what have you, so hopefully it's starting to bear fruits.
And how was that coming through the system at Newcastle?
Oh, fantastic. You know, it's probably like any young boy from Glasgow coming through the system at Celtic. You know, it's your boyhood club. You want to get in the first team and that's your ambition and then go from there.
And how were the older guys with you? Because I know yous were brilliant with us coming through.
Yeah.
How was the older guys at Newcastle when you were you?
It was old school back then. Uh-huh. I mean, some of the older guys when I was breaking through as a schoolboy would have been people like Roy Aitken, Mark McGee. Uh-huh. So Celtic fans would be familiar with us, and we couldn't step out of line, just like you couldn't step out of line with us.
With the guys a bit of banter at her.
Oh yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And the clip if you needed it, yeah. You know, if you got a bit lippy with Mark McGee or Roy Aitken, you'd get a bat round the top of the head, aye.
I think it was about 25 games you played for Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't come through to play for the team you supported as a kid.
Oh, it was brilliant when I got called up, yeah. I'd had a bad neck injury and I was a bit behind my teammates, like Lee Clark, Steve Watson. So I watched them get into the team when I was injured after a bad car crash. So it was a difficult time, but eventually I got in there and, yeah, it was a great achievement, yeah.
Uh-huh. After Newcastle, you had spells at Bolton and then 4.5 million moved to Villa.
4.5, yeah, that was a big move at the time.
Did you get 10% of that?
I got 25%. No, it was a big move and it was a good club, Villa.
And who was the characters in that Villa team at that time?
There was some characters there. Big Hugo Ekiog, bless him. Pre-match meals and evening meals, he would send food back for about 4 or 5 times until his chicken was correctly cooked in that. And people like Paul Merson, Mark Bosnich, Gareth Southgate. There was some real big hitters in that dressing room. And again, you looked at them and David Ginola. So there was some top players.
So you and Ginola fighting out for the old left wing?
We're just fighting it out for the best bodies, really. But no, there was no comparison when David come in. Wowzers, what a man he was.
Was he a player here?
On the pitch? Yeah. Top draw. Left foot, right foot. I mean, people ask who's the best players you've played with. He'd be up there, David. And and as far as two-footed players, there was two players, David Ginola and Lubo Moravcek, for two-footed players. But David would just pick Lubo for being the best two-footed player I played with.
Wow. So you're at Villa, playing in the Prem. How did the interest of Celtic come about?
My first season at Villa was a good season, and the second season wasn't so good. I'd done my ankle ligaments in the January on New Year's Day and didn't really recover from that for the rest of the season. So I was looking to get away in the summer and Martin O'Neill come in for me. But he did try and sign me at Leicester before I went to Villa.
Right.
So he obviously quite fancied me before that when I was at Bolton. So I think when I become available, he thought the opportunity was to bring us up, yeah, which as soon as I found out that he was in for us, it was how quickly can I get there, you know.
Uh-huh. So did you know a lot about Celtic?
Yeah, I had a couple of mates up here at the time. Stubbsy, right, who I played with at Bolton. Uh-huh. Tommy Johnson, who's a Geordie lad who I've known for a long time. So I used to keep an eye on it. So I knew all about it, aye. Uh-huh.
And was there other teams in for you, or was it only Celtic?
There was one or two in England, but nothing of the size of up here.
Do you remember the first time you met Martin O'Neill?
Yeah, went to a Chinese in Glasgow. Can't remember the name of the Chinese.
Ho Wong,
No, it wasn't Ho Wong, it was another one. Might have been on Bath Street. It was Martin and Jim Hone, my agent, was sat there and he just holds court and he doesn't bamboozle you, but he's got an aura about him, you know.
Uh-huh. And straight away you wanted to sign for him?
Yeah.
First training sessions, what was the standard like with Celtic compared to the teams that you played down south?
It was right good standard, but you think I've come from Villa as well with some top players. Uh-huh. And then there's one or two people that you're unaware of, like Salubo and Moravcek, and you think, wow, how don't I know about this guy? Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was just sensational. Mm-hmm. So it was quality.
Yeah, and that first season you got a treble.
Yeah.
No bad start, eh?
No, it was a good start. And it was obviously Martin's first season. And I think he said when he come in, he wanted to close the gap from the previous season to Rangers. So it was some achievement, not only to close the gap, to go and win a treble, yeah.
What was it he had that he could go and win a treble in his first season with Martin O'Neill?
He just made you feel good about yourself and all the lads. We talk about it now when we get together, the lads, you know, what he was good at. And he would often put himself down to make you feel better. But we off knew what he was at, you know what I mean? He'd won two European Cups playing in a top Forest team, so he was obviously a top player himself, but he would put himself down. I mean, he would say to the centre-halves, lads, just go and head it. I couldn't head the ball. I didn't want to head the ball. I was rubbish at heading the ball. So the centre-halves then thought, God, he's rubbish at heading the ball, Martin. I'm going to go and head it for him. Mm-hmm. So he was good at making people feel good about themselves.
And he had a great backroom staff room, didn't he? Even when you were there, was John Roberts still the best left winger at the club?
Robbo was top draw. He couldn't move, but he joined in a little bit, and you could see he was a top player, yeah.
And that team as well, some big characters, weren't they?
Oh yeah, huge.
How good was the team spirit?
It was brilliant, probably the best I played in. It could be 10, 12 big characters in there. Mm-hmm. And those big players coming in and going out at the time as well. It was a big transition period. But the ones that come in, I think that's one thing Martin did do. He signed good characters, you know.
See the big characters that you had? Was it so important to have a manager like Martin looking after this?
He didn't really get involved, to be honest.
Right.
You'd only see him at 25 past 10 before training started at half past because he'd be in his office. Mm-hmm. But Robbo and Wally used to come in and get involved. They were the link between the manager and the players. Mm-hmm. And they were very, very good at that, Robbo and Wally. They're brilliant. Just you'd see them at 9:15 in the morning, come and have a coffee and a game of pool. Robbo would do his crossword, would take the mick out of his suits. And so they were the link between Martin and the players, really.
He's always smoking fags, isn't he, Rob?
Aye, all the time.
Love the fag, didn't he? First taste of the Champions League in your second season. You played in the opener against Juventus. Amoruso dived for the penalty. Remember it? How annoyed were you after that game?
Well, you expect it, don't you, with the foreign boys. But no, they were great occasions. Any Champions League game, whether it was against a Juventus or a Milan or a Barcelona, if it's a Rosenberg, there were still great occasions at Celtic Park. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, after that game, do you remember Martin O'Neill's interview? He was absolutely raging after the game.
Was he?
Was he like that in the dressing room? Can you remember?
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't take that out on us.
No.
But because that's out with us if Amoruso's dived. But yeah, he wasn't particularly happy.
Talking to Juventus, your big mate Sutty scored a couple of belters at home.
He
against
did.
Juventus.
He did.
How much of a character was he in the dressing room?
Chris was massive. And not only a big character, he was top player. I mean, one of the best. For someone to be a striker and to be able to quite easily drop into midfield or drop into centre-half and be equally as good as in those positions as a striker says a lot about how good he was, how he reads the game, his positional sense. He was a big presence on and off the pitch.
Mm-hmm. He was a wind-up as well, wasn't he?
Slightly.
You and him together, I would say.
I wasn't, but there's one day he done me massively. So his wife and my wife used to use the same ironing guy up in Newton Mens, so... guy called Bruce. So I said to him one day, I said, Bruce, see when you're doing Sutty's jeans, will you get the girls to put creases in them like that? Because you're not meant to have creases in jeans. So Bruce went, yeah, it's a strange request. I went, just do it for a laugh. So Sutty hadn't clicked on when he's put his jeans on. He's come into training. Well, the lads are all starting to laugh and going, what are you doing with creases in your jeans, Sutty, like that? Well, he's knew immediately it was me. Uh-huh. So he's cottoned on and he saw, fuck, Tomo's done his there. So the next day, after training at Celtic Park, we used to go to an Italian in Newton Renz, a few of the boys. And on the way to the Italian, I needed petrol in the car, so I stopped to put petrol in the car. So I filled it up, gone in the station to pay, got my wallet out my pocket, opened my wallet on the counter, and all this pubic hair fell out my wallet onto the counter, right? So he decided to cut all his pubic hair off, put it in my wallet, so when I opened it somewhere, the pubic hair would come everywhere. So he got his own back on us, you know?
Brilliant,
so it's 1-1 at the minute, so I still need to get one back on him.
He would be like that with everyone too. His one-liners were so good, weren't they?
Yeah, he was sharp as a tack, very dry, but some people don't get his humour, but we did.
See, who else in that dressing room were big characters? Obviously yourself, Sutton, Lenny.
Lenny, yeah, Jackie McNamara, Rab Douglas, John Hartson, obviously. Stillian got better the older he got. He was quite boring when he was working on those burger vans, but the older he got more experience. Stillian was obviously a big character.
Would you all hang a bit together outside, football as well?
Yeah, yeah, we'd spend a lot of time together. Both with the lads golfing and then out, you know, on a Saturday night after a game with the wives and stuff like that.
And would Martin O'Neill not mind just going out and having a drink and stuff like that?
No, no, at the right time, at the right time. I mean, obviously not on a Thursday or a Friday, but, you know, on a Tuesday night, if we didn't have a midweek game, we're off on the Wednesday, we'd be quite happy for you to go and have a few, yeah.
You won the league comfortably again your second year. What was it about that team that was so successful over
Well, it's like
years?
Any team, innit? Any team who can win leagues, they just keep going to the end. They don't know they're beat. You look at the Man United teams and stuff like that, and Arsenal's and Chelsea's and Man City's now, Celtic now, you know, they win games late on, and that's what wins your titles.
But see, that team, like, he's never done, I always remember, he's never done tactics or anything like that. Was it just good players with good team spirit?
Yeah, it was just good players with good football intelligence, really. And you trusted each other, and, you know, you relied on each other, your mate to pull you out. You knew someone always had your back.
Third season, the Seville. How much did you thrive in the games that year, especially against the English clubs?
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it was a great run. Obviously disappointed to lose the final, but to go and beat, you know, Blackburn and Liverpool, we were big underdogs going into those games. But we knew ourselves that we had players who played in the Premier League, who could, people like Henrik, who could always go and play in the Premier League. And we weren't surprised when we beat them.
Were you happy when you got those teams, so it was a chance to go and...
Oh yeah, because it's a chance to go and prove a point, because people are saying this, that and the other about Scottish football, but then you draw them in your UEFA Cup, it's a chance to go and prove people wrong.
And did that annoy you when they would say that about
Scotland? Oh yeah, it would get your back up,
Would you speak about it amongst yourselves?
Yeah, yeah, of course we wouldn't. I think after the first two legs, the first leg against Blackburn and the first leg against Liverpool, they both fancied themselves, us going to Ewood and us going to Anfield. I think they thought they had our backs, you know.
Yeah, because it was soon as it said it was men v boys. The
yeah,
first
yeah,
line,
that annoyed us massively, yeah.
And was that used in the team talk and stuff like that?
To be fair, Blackburn did play well in the first leg at Celtic Park, but we outdone them down there.
And the Liverpool game as well, one each.
Yeah.
Did you think your chance had maybe gone then? Because they were a good Liverpool team.
Well, it puts them in the driving seat, scoring an away goal. But one of my favourite grounds, Anfield, before I come up here, and it's a great atmosphere, and the atmosphere with the Liverpool fans and the Celtic fans that night was probably the best atmosphere I played in.
And you scored that toe bash?
I did, yeah.
Was it a toe bash now?
Hold on, if Messi put it under the wall, you'd be saying he's a genius. Because I put it under the wall, it's a toe bash.
Did you know you're always going to go under the wall?
What's a toe bash, one of those? I'd never heard that before.
No, you've never done that, mate. You're too cultured for that. Yeah. Did you always know you were going to go under the wall?
I was going low for power, yeah. Yeah.
But had you seen videos that Liverpool would jump in the wall, or was it just something they thought they'd do?
I'm not telling you.
How come? No, come on, tell us.
No, I just I was going for power, to be honest. And the balls we were using at the time were the Nike balls, and they were the flew. So I caught it well, and Dudek didn't really move, actually.
No chance. Did Yusuf Hanno want to hit that one there?
Him and Big John, I think, wanted it, but... I was on a bonus off Reebok that night to score, so I was definitely taking it.
Were you really?
Yeah, was I. Yeah.
There's Reebok coming for you now.
Put the boots out, they're on fire.
Was that the best team performance during your time at Celtic? Big John scored a belter.
It would be up there, yeah. I mean, that was a real good Liverpool team with Michael Owen, Steven Gerrard and people like that. So, and like you said, John scored a worldie in the second half.
And Martin, because he'd came for England as well. Mm-hmm. How was he in the dressing room after that? They sort of game.
Do you know what? I was at a golf day the other day and Martin was there and a few of the boys were there. Stillian was there, Big John was there, Rab was there. And we were talking about his team talk before the game. It's the best team talk he gave us in all the time he was at Celtic. But none of us could remember what he said. So we couldn't, but he just made us all feel $1 million. And then he was at the golf day the other day and I spoke to him about it. And I asked him, I said, Gaffer, can you remember what you said to us before the game at Anfield? And he could only remember a little bit of it. He couldn't remember a lot of the stuff, which is unlike him. He normally remembers everything.
That's a shame.
But, no, he made us feel 10 foot tall that night.
Because you'd only ever really come in and name the 11 names and walk out, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So it was only certain games he would get a big speech.
He only named his team for 60, 65 minutes before kickoff, yeah.
And did you like that as a player, doing that?
You got used to it, yeah.
But after games when you've done well, would he be full of praise to the players?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what he was good at?
He was very good at that. And then, I mean, we played in Inverness, didn't we, just after that game and got knocked out of the cup, I think, at the weekend after the Anfield game. So you're up there one day and 3 days later you're down there. But that was big achievement, going to Liverpool and winning.
See, when it was on the other side, could he slaughter you as a hair?
Oh, yeah, he was lethal. Yeah. You could get involved in an argument with him, but you won't win him. I think anyone who knows Martin will tell you that, whether it's a journalist or whether it's someone who he's played for.
Uh-huh. Would you ever answer him back?
I tried once, not long after I signed my first Old Firm game. I got sent off and I was in the dressing room and I could just hear the Rangers fans, whoa, you know, 3-1, whoa, 4-1, thinking, uh-oh. And he come in and I'll not tell you what was said, but he ripped me to shreds. And I'd only signed 6 weeks before, so he wasn't bothered that I was a new signing and he paid a decent fee for us, but he put me in my place, yeah.
So would he not treat anyone any different for anyone else? Oh,
no, it didn't matter if it was a young lad like yourself breaking in the team or if it was Henrik Larsson. Mm. If he thought someone was wrong, they were getting it, yeah.
Wow. The Boa Vista games after the Liverpool ones, just to go back to the UEFA Cup run, how much pressure was it in the two games?
Massive, really, because there was so much at stake. To do as well as we had, to get beat in the semis would have, you know, it'd have ruined everything, all the hard work we'd done. And I remember the Boa Vista, the second leg over there, it was possibly the worst game I've ever played in. Not just for Celtic, but in my career. Mm-hmm. It was really, really poor from both teams. Not much quality, too much at stake. Mm-hmm. And then Henrik scores a goal and that puts us through. So, but that was the job done to get through, but it was a really not a great performance at all. Mm-hmm.
Would that have been the best feeling in your career, reaching the UEFA Cup?
Oh, yeah. I remember being in the dressing room after that. It was... John Robertson would never smoke in the dressing room. He always went outside. But that night he was walking around the dressing room, he didn't give a shit. So it was a special atmosphere.
Do the boys have a wee fag on there?
No, not then.
No, then. Did you get a night out after to celebrate getting in the
final? No, we flew back. I think we flew straight back, but I think it was a good trip back.
And just on the final, I mean, the lead up to the final, did you get to experience like the fans in Seville and see how many people were there? Did you even realise that? We didn't.
I've heard all about it. My family were there. We stayed about 30 or 40 minutes out of the way, a place called Jerez.
Right.
So we didn't really see that until we got to the ground and then, wow, something special.
Did your family ever see anything like that? The amount of Celtic fans?
No, it was unbelievable. I think they come up to Scotland to fly out of Prestwick, my mum and dad and all that kind of stuff, and I don't think they could believe what was going on.
And see, when you walked out and you seen the majority of Celtic, could you not believe it?
We're all sweating like mad.
Was it?
Yeah, well, we got to Seville, you know, the temperatures. Uh-huh. We got new suits, but they were black wool. You know.
Who picked it?
I don't know. They must have been cheap or something like that, but they weren't. We had the wrong suits on, the wrong material, so it was kind of go out, have a look at the pitch, but then it was quickly get back in and get your kit on because it was too hot to be outside.
And was it the same again? You never knew if you were playing until 60 minutes before the game?
Absolutely, aye. Yeah, he hadn't named his team, yeah.
But did you always think you were going to play?
Well, you have a good idea. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know how you've been doing, building up to it. But it's still a relief when he names a team and you're in it.
And how would you look back on that game?
I thought we'd done well. The goal before half-time was a bit of a body blow, you know. Mm-hmm. You're going in at half-time, 0-0, you think. But then you think they've just scored. Hopefully we can get back in it. And we dug our way back in and we're unlucky. We go down to 10 men. We lose it in extra time. We weren't a million miles off. But at the end of the day, you've lost.
Mm-hmm. And the way the Porto players were acting that night, how frustrating was that?
Yeah, it was that, the players, the referee, rolling around, referee not really pulling them up on it. There was a big Barney at half time, which I started actually. A couple of the players kicked off, but then it all ended up a little bit messy. And I've got a big bottle of Lucasaid. Mourinho's getting involved. I've given one of them, and it all over him, and I've just done a runner. Thinking I didn't get involved in that. I'm in the dressing room like that. Where is everyone? Apparently, it all just kicked off in the tunnel at half time, and I got involved and then ducked out the way. Something
brilliant,
you
mate.
Used to do in bars, wasn't it?
Me?
Yeah, start fighting.
I remember
do
it.
One. Yeah,
in America.
Yeah. Throw a hand grenade on, throw an hand grenade and do one.
Me and me gals ever straight.
Ah, you and gals were away. And we'd have to sort it out.
Were you saying stuff to the portal players? Like, get up.
Well, you do, don't you?
But no,
they're not going to understand the Geordie either. that is frustrating, but you half know, you go back to the Amoruso diving. That's what they do, the players from overseas,
And then difficult to pick yourself up. The next week was Kilmarnock.
Yeah, very difficult, but you have to. It's your job. A couple of days after the Seville game, you try and flip it on to the next game and because you have to.
Was Martin good at that as well, picking players up for being low?
Yeah, we'd all be down. He'd be down, Robbo, Wally, supporters, everyone. So you just got to pull together, and that's where your good characters, your big characters come out, your Sutties, your Henricks, your Big Johns, your Lennies, your Jackies. So that's where you need your big players.
Is that the hard thing about playing for Celtic? When you get a big disappointment and there's another big game again at the weekend?
You can't dwell on it. Cause
is it tough?
When you're playing for Celtic, you can't lose games. So you have to pick yourself up in some shape or form.
And that game, obviously, Kilmarnock, Big Sutty had the interview after it about Dunfermline lying down to Rangers. Was that a feeling amongst the whole squad?
Well, I think we all knew that, yeah. I mean, it was... but again, that was a tough one to take. You've had the body blow losing in Seville, and then you've got the body blow doing that. And I think Sutty was probably fairly emotional. I think he's done it straight after the game, the interview. So feelings would have been running high. We've just lost the title, haven't we, after losing the UEFA Cup. So he was speaking from his heart, I think.
And did you feel like you were the best team in Scotland that year? Despite the line out?
Definitely. Yeah.
Do you think just the UEFA Cup run took it out of the players?
Yeah. I think it was a little bit, but we had a go. The Kilmarnock game, we've gone there and won 4-1, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So you can't do much more than winning 4-1 away from home, but then the score at Ibrox goes against you.
That's probably the best Celtic team I've seen,
that
UEFA Cup team.
Yeah.
Would that be the best team you've played in?
Yeah, I would probably say so, yeah. Yeah, good players. Most of them internationals as well, So, yeah, very good team.
Where do you think that team would have finished in the Premier League?
I would have said in the top six. I mean, some people say not, but I would have said top six, definitely.
Top six, yeah? Mm-hmm. There was good teams about at that time as well.
Yeah.
That good, right, okay. Your fourth season, mate, unlucky not to qualify for the last 16 of the Champions League. Do you feel you could have gone further?
Yeah, we always got close. I think our points total was decent that year as well, and teams had gone through on those points in previous years, and we didn't manage to get through. So it's always disappointing. Wanted to get to the last 16, but wasn't to be.
You see Celtic were a good team now, but they struggle in Europe. But that team seemed like they were made for Europe. Why do you think that was?
Well, we didn't have a great away record either. We'd done great in the home games, don't get me wrong. But for some reason, we struggled away from home as well, So it's difficult. It's really difficult. I can't really put my finger on why, but it is difficult to go away from home in Europe and get results.
But at home, you always felt like you could beat anyone?
Yeah. With the way we played and the tempo we played at home, with the backing of the crowd, we always fancy our chance against anyone, yeah.
See, when you're playing in it, I've always wanted to ask you, see, when you're playing the SPL and then you go and play these big teams in Europe, is it hard when you're playing against these teams all season and then you...
Well, it's difficult because the flip side of it, in the SPL, you've got the ball. A lot of the time you've got the ball, you're in possession, you're attacking. Obviously, you defend through the course of a game. But then you tend to, when you play these European teams, especially away from home, you're defending quite a bit, It's a sort of flip side of the SPL to Europe was you don't get as much possession in Europe as what we were getting in the SPL.
And you had that graveyard shift up and doing that wing back sometimes.
That was horrendous.
Was it hard work, mate?
Horrendous.
Blowing at your ass.
Yes. I wasn't like Didier Gatto who would get up and down. Yeah.
But you could shape it in, couldn't you?
Used to try.
You scored the winning goal in the UEFA Cup against Barcelona. Great goal. What was your memories of that game? Big Rab sent off at half-time.
Yeah, there was a bit of a hoo-ha in the tunnel and the referee...
Is that you again with that?
No, I didn't get involved in that one. There was a bit of a hoo-ha in the tunnel. The referee comes in the dressing room and says, we're sending your goalkeeper off. So don't know who... We had to take someone off. I can't remember who we took off. But they had Motta, I think, sent off as well. And then just after that, Saviola got sent off. So it was 10-9. It was a bit like a game of ice hockey for a bit, backwards and forwards, but we managed to scrape through.
How good was Ronaldinho?
Very good.
Best you've played?
Probably the best, yeah.
What was he so just?
He just couldn't get near him. He protected the ball. He was quick. He was strong. He could pass. He could score. There wasn't really anything he could do. I don't think he was. He wasn't in the team to defend, but he was top draw, and I got his strip that night. So I was more than happy with that. Yeah.
Brilliant, mate. Yeah. How good's that? Did you feel the team didn't do themselves justice against Villarreal last 16, or were they a top team?
They were a top team. I don't think they got credit for as good as they were. People like Riquelme in the team, who was a top player. But again, disappointing now.
Same as Barcelona, but just so good at keeping possession.
Top draw. Yeah.
Remember what that Celtic Park, they were brilliant, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
The wee Brazilian guy in the middle of the pitch was a good player as well.
Yeah, top players.
You ran away with the league that year. Was the way you lost it previous season the motivation for that?
I think it was a lot to do with it, yeah. Because it hurts. Still hurts now when you lose the league on the last day of the season. Which happened a couple of times, so it still hurts now. So, yeah, it definitely inspired us to go on the next season and crack on, yeah.
And would the coaching staff use stuff like that as well, or was it never spoken about again the previous
year? No, they wouldn't really ram it down your throat, but it was definitely in our minds, because that hurts, you know.
Henrik Larsson left at the end of that year. Mm-hmm. Just tell us how good he was.
Sensational.
Was he?
I was talking to some Celtic lads I played golf with the other day, and I was saying, you've got to see him once, twice a week. We got to see him 5-6 days a week, and it was just sublime how good he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was he doing? Great nick and.
He was his movement, yeah. His agility, his finishing. I mean, he'd score some goals in training, finishing wise. Some people wouldn't think of doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, the goal he scored against Rangers when he flips it over, and he would do silly things like that every day, but make it look easy.
Against good players as well, eh?
Yeah, against top players in tight areas, on small pitches and training. Yeah.
And would he have been Martin O'Neill's favourite tonight?
He's a big player for Martin. Uh-huh. But I think if I had to pick one of Martin's favourite out, would be Sutty, definitely.
Jackie McNamara said that was his dad.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because he was a top player, eh?
Top player. And I think Sutty used to go in his office and do crosswords with him and all that. We weren't allowed anywhere near the place but him. I think him and Sutty used to go in and talk tactics, actually.
Did they? Brilliant. England caught. People were shouting for you and Sutty to get more. Mm. Do you feel like you should have got more, you and Sutty, your time at Celtic?
I definitely think Chris should have got more, yeah. I was delighted to be given the chance. But wasn't to be. I would love to have got more caps, but I definitely think Chris should have got more caps. I don't know if the history of him and the FA in England with an incident with Glenn Hoddle had a bearing on that, might have done. Mm-hmm. But he was someone that could have got in many, many squads, yeah. He was better than a lot of players who got a lot of caps, put it that way.
You think so, huh?
Without a doubt, yeah.
Right. Mm. How was your experience when you joined up with the camp eventually? How was Mad Sven?
Sven was interesting. he started his team talk in the hotel before we got on the bus to go to the ground in Swedish, which was quite funny because none of us spoke Swedish. So that was quite bizarre. So no, he was quite basic. Sven, he kept it simple. He didn't really complicate it. But it was just a great experience to pull on that strip, you know.
See, when you first met up, did you have a chat? You individually, or was it?
Yeah, he spoke to us. We had an Old Firm game on the Sunday, and then I went down to London and met up. We had a brief chat just to see if I was okay and no problems injury-wise and stuff, and just enjoy it, you know. He told me on the Sunday I'd be playing, so I knew a few days in advance that I'd be starting, like, you know.
So you could shit yourself for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. Good thing was the kit man was a Celtic fan, so I used to go in there with him and have a cup of tea and think. He used to calm us down.
Was he the same? Was he a Celtic,
Celtic
Scottish
fan?
Boy?
Scottish boy, yeah.
Was he? Uh-huh.
Still there now, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I remember when I was a young guy, you told me when you went away that Gerrard was head and shoulders above.
Unbelievable. In training he was, Gerrard, yeah.
What, just like, ran the show here?
Just everything he'd done, he was so elegant and positive, you know.
And were the lads good to be, the England boys?
It's quite bizarre, actually, because it was like a split in the camp, if you want. Uh-huh. You had like the northern lads at one end of the big table and the southern lads at the other end. It was quite bizarre.
Really?
The London boys kept themselves and the northern boys tended to gravitate together, so it was for the only time I was there, the once I thought that stood out, you know.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that's why they've maybe not done so well?
Quite possibly, quite possibly. I don't know if that's still the case. I'm sure, I know Gareth, I played with Gareth, he wouldn't allow that now. He'd be saying, whoa, 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 we're mixing together, we're not having that. So,
but Sven wasn't caring a job, was he?
I don't know if he was there, Sven.
He was up in his room, wasn't he?
He might, yeah. He had someone up with
him. Fifth season, mate. Scored the late winner against Rangers. You always seem to be involved somehow in those games, whether it be a goal or a sending off. How much did you look forward to them and relish them?
They were great games. You were guaranteed at least four a season, weren't you? Possibly six with the two cups. So there were games that you really look forward to as players, not just me, but everyone from both sides. So special occasions, yeah.
See, the times I always felt like between the players there was a proper rivalry. They didn't like each other. Was that the case?
There might have been one or two issues, but I mean, that team I played in, there was a lot of us lived up in Newton Men's, but there's also a lot of the Rangers boys lived up in Newton Men's, so you'd see each other out and about.
We just talking.
There'd only be a couple of idiots who'd have a couple of Barneys, like, you know, me and Fernando, so and stuff like that. But
How did that come about, Fernando?
It just built up over a period of games, I think, getting involved on the pitch and then spilling off the pitch, and then it got a bit silly at times, really away from the pitch. But we'd be friendly enough. I mean, Ronald De Boer lived opposite me, so you'd spend a bit of time playing, maybe play golf with him, and some of the boys, some of the Celtic boys, mixed with other lads who they live next. Morton Vicourse lived next door to Craig Moore. They were pally, and their wives were pally. So yeah, it wasn't a problem.
See, even though you are pally, that game, does it just?
Oh, totally out the window. Yeah,
so you lose your head, do you?
Huh? Yeah, they're not your pals when you start playing against them, no chance.
And did you play in the Sunderland Newcastle when you were at Newcastle?
I did it. I made my debut playing against Sunderland in a northeast time we had derby.
And how do they sort of derbies compare to the Celtic Rangers one?
They're big games, don't get me wrong. Massive for the supporters, but being at Jordy and I haven't played for Celtic, they don't come close to the Old Firm games. No.
Really? Yeah. And you told us about that red card with Lovenkrantz at the golf day the other day, Martin.
I was quite surprised. We were sitting around the table having a drink after the golf, and Martin brings up to someone, I think it might have been Chick Young, about referees being biased against us, and he said, look, there's Tomo there, the Lovenkrantz incident. He said, it was never a red card. And I went, whoa, gaffer, did you just say that was never a red card? He went, yeah, Tomo, absolutely. He said, it wasn't a red card. I went, you fined me 2 weeks' wages. He went, yeah, but we lost the game. I said, yeah, but it's cost me a right few quid and it wasn't a red card. So it was the first time he's ever admitted it as well.
Would he be different in Old Firm games? Leading up to it and stuff like that?
No, he was fairly calm. Yeah, he was fairly calm.
But is the lead up to an Old Firm week? Is it like nothing else?
Well, it's a lot. There's a lot of media attention and more interviews and stuff like that. So it is completely, it's like a build up to a European game, you know, that the tension and the expectation levels and all that. So,
Do you have a favourite one looking back? Favourite game?
No, they were all good games, especially the ones that you ended up winning. I scored a late winner, the one that dipped over Kloss. That was a bit special. Chris Sutton scored a late winner at Celtic Park when he chipped it. So they're great games, especially at the death when you just nick it.
Reginho, I wanted to ask you about. I thought he was a top player, eh?
Yeah, he was.
Why do you think it never worked out for him?
I don't know, to be honest. Because obviously he'd done it at the top level. He was playing for Middlesbrough when Middlesbrough was spending fortunes in the Premier League. And he was doing it at that level, international level. And he come in, he looked like he was going to do great, didn't he? Because I think his debut was against Rangers. And he started well, so you think, oh, aye, go on then, let's see you. But it just didn't seem to happen, and sometimes it works like that, you know?
See, players coming into that team, was it hard with guys like you, Lenny, Lambo, Pitt? Is it hard coming into that group?
I think it must have been. I'm not too sure because I haven't really spoke to anyone about it. But you think of Janinho, they're coming in, like you say, you've got these big dressing room, big characters. Craig Bellamy, so, you know, top player, played at the top level, and then he comes in and he probably hasn't been used to seeing as many big characters in a dressing room as what he did. Bella's fitted in great and so did Janinho. But it must be tough for these lads coming in when there's big characters flying about now.
But see, when you are a top man and people coming in, especially in your positions, are you desperate they're not going to play ahead of me?
Yeah, there's going to be competition. But yeah, Martin brought a few people in my position, and that just kicked me on, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not getting in my position if I can help it. So,
mm-hmm. Helicopter Sunday, I need to ask you about, mate. How do you look back on that?
Oh, that was
horrendous. Worst moment of your career?
Yeah, it'll be up there, yeah. And I think it was after that game, Martin told us he was finishing, and I think we had a Scottish Cup final a week after. But yeah, it doesn't get any lower than that.
No.
No, that was the atmosphere in the dressing room after that game was a damn sight worse than what it was the previous few years ago against Kilmarnock, and the atmosphere against Porto in Seville. That Motherwell dressing room was just, don't think anyone spoke. I think people just got showered and got on the bus.
Was the dressing room different at that time, coming towards the end of Martin's reign?
No. Well, we didn't know he was gone. It was only after the game he dropped the sledgehammer, and then, wow, we didn't expect it, you know.
But Steve McManus told us that there was a couple of incidents with Bobo that year and stuff like that. Were boys starting to get on each other's backs, or was it not really like that?
It wasn't really like that. I think Bobo had an issue with the club. That had nothing to do with the players niggling at players. As far as I'm concerned, there wasn't any niggle between the players, but there might have been issues between players and the club.
How gutted were you when Martin O'Neill left?
Oh, it was a tough one to take. We understood the reasons why, but obviously having a manager as good as that and someone that you respect and were close to at the end, was tough when he left.
So was it just straight after the game he just announced, that's me?
He said after the game, yeah, he was leaving, and we were playing Dundee United the following week in the Scottish Cup final, so we wanted to go out, not on a high because we'd lost the title, but we wanted to win the Scottish Cup for him more than anyone.
And you scored that, didn't you?
I did, aye, but...
Was it an emotional day?
It was, because you wanted to enjoy it. You knew he was leaving, and you've still got the feelings from the weekend before against Motherwell, so it was... I think we enjoyed it a couple of hours after the game, but it took a bit of time sinking in everything that had happened, you know.
Would you speak to his individually when he left, or was it just a group thing?
No. I think he contacted a one or two after he left.
Mm-hmm. Sutty, probably.
I think he spoke to Sutty on a regular basis. I'm only joking. He speaks to one or two of the lads on a regular basis now.
Is he a great guy?
When he eventually picks up his voicemails.
Just your sixth season, mate, your last season. What was your first impressions when you heard that it was going to be Gordon Strachan getting the job?
Yeah, it was positive because I like Gordon. I'd seen him work down south, seen a lot of his television work. And when he come in, he was great with me, Gordon. I'd missed a lot of pre-season, had a calf strain. Well, I'd done it in the cup final, actually. And I hadn't rehabbed it properly through the summer. And I'd done it again the first day of pre-season, so I missed a lot of it. But he was a good coach, Gordon. Very good on the training ground, getting his ideas across.
Uh-huh.
And it was good to see him work on the grass.
So what happened to you leaving Celtic?
He thought that one or two of us had given our best years, and to be fair, he wasn't a million miles off the mark. And then you had Sean Maloney breaking through, really starting to show. Young Aidan McGeady, two lads who could play in my position. And I understood the reasons, and it was time to move on. It was a tough one to take, but good things come to an end, and eventually left.
That must have been a real low point when you had to come into him, the likes of the riffraff, down at the reserves.
Aye.
It's a great laugh, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were a funny boy, Simon, sometimes. Kenny McDowell and people like that.
Brilliant.
Gowza. But no, it's always tough when you've been around such a successful team to know also the club want you out as well. It's a tough one to take.
How did it feel, though, to get, I think, the send-off you deserved?
It was a tough one. I remember going out the side door, down towards John Clark's room in Angie. Just jumped in the car and thought, wow, that's it, like, you know. The day I was signing for Leeds, it was like, oh, I'll not be back as a player, which was tough.
And how would you look, just finally, how would you look back on your time at Celtic?
Oh, nothing but good times. I know it didn't end the way I wanted it to end as a player, but nothing but good times, without a doubt. Real fond memories.
Tomo, top man, thanks very
Brilliant,
much.
Brilliant, Simon. Good lad, good to see you, son.
You too, mate. Cheers.